Welcome to Start Writing. I'm Joe Bendosky. Today I have an interview with Amber Dalcourt, and in it we talk about her success on Wattpad, how she's learned to use the platform and be able to grow a following as she prepares to launch her book and having a big fan base that way. We talk about a lot of the nuances of Wattpad, how a lot of the readership is mostly teenagers and writers just starting out, and some of the challenges that come up because of that and how she's handled that, some of her negative experiences along with her positive. I'm going to skip this week in critique and writing true because this does end up being a fairly long interview. She is a brand consultant for indie authors, and her book is Awakening on Wattpad, so you can check it out there. And here is the interview. All right, this is my guest, Amber Dalcourt. She is a brand consultant for new creatives and indie authors. I actually came across her writing on Wattpad, where she seemed to be doing fairly well, and I wanted to talk to her about some of the techniques she had done to kind of do that. Why don't we start off there? Why are you your novel's on Wattpad and you have a variety of short stories on Amazon? Talk to me about the decisions behind that, and then some of the things you've done to build a following on Wattpad.
Okay. Well, I started off with the short stories because I wanted to learn how to manage the publication process. So I needed to know how the algorithms worked and so on. And with Wattpad, I'm a slow writer, a very slow writer. So I know that through experience in publishing the short stories, you're not going to have an instant million right there. It's one reader at a time. You've got to build it up. And free platforms for me, not only with Wattpad, but with Fiction Press. And I think I'm with Medium and Scrivener, Scrivener's the platform I use to keep my notes. Anyway, on a variety of them anyway. So I'm building up my readership one reader at a time. And I'm in it for the long game. So every time I'm always asking the question, who am I writing for? My goal as a writer is to tell a story that entertains a specific group of readers. So Wattpad, to answer your question cleanly, is all about connecting with my readers while I'm buying time before I hit that publish button.
Okay. That's a really good way to point that. So talk to me. You say you're building it one reader at a time. What is it you do to build that one reader at a time?
Well, this is going back several years. I remember being very frustrated when I initially started with Wattpad for the obvious reasons. I mean, anybody going in who writes a genre outside of romance is going to experience a great deal of frustration no matter what platform you get. I think the weird stat is 8 out of every 10 writers are writing romance. So it's a heavily saturated market. On top of that, because the romance writers are experiencing that frustration, they're also saturating the other genres. So building up that reader one reader at a time gets to be incredibly challenging. So what I have done is I wrote a story that had a reader like myself in mind. So I like pure fantasy or pure science fiction. And I focus on the high-level concepts that drew me as a fantasy writer. So for example, I like epic tales between a great evil and a great good. I like the shades in between where you're not so sure if the bad guy was really the bad guy or if the hero was just a little too full of himself. And I like stories where there's exploration and wonder. So hidden worlds often appeal to me. So those are the type of stories I write. And I make damn sure when I'm putting out anything related to marketing that some of my first lines are that there is no romance in this fantasy.
Yeah, that's probably really good because Wattpad is YA fantasy galore.
Yes, yes it is. But it's not just Wattpad. Pretty much every free platform is like that. And that's how come I started off with the stat of every 8 in every 10 writers tends to be a romance writer. And that's what it feels like. And when you look at a site like Wattpad and you take a look at their background demographic information, their readership is primarily teenage girls. So of course, YA is going to be popular. And of course, romance is going to be popular. And it doesn't even have to be well written to be popular.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just that age group. And that's great. That's fantastic. I will never shame a reader for loving what they love to read. But as a writer getting into it, I think it's really important that you understand what the platform is about, who you're writing for, and what are your odds. And I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying that as a fantasy writer, I knew I had a huge mountain to climb. And the question for me was I going to reduce my integrity as a writer and lie about what I was writing? Was I going to shift my market instead of catering to the fantasy market? Was I going to cater instead to the fantasy romance market? Which is fine. If you're writing for profit, shifting your market is actually a really good idea. Especially if you can stomach the idea of writing romance. I can't. So I can't make that transition. And the reason why I can't is because I have such a low opinion of romance tropes that when I write it, I stand a very good chance of insulting the reader. And I do not want to do that. So these are like the pros and cons of what you have to consider when you're going to shift markets, if you're going to shift markets. As a fantasy writer going into a romance-saturated market where the readers there want to read romance, it's that much more of a challenge. And it's great because there are hungry fantasy readers, hungry science fiction readers in there. They're just not as many. And if you can write quality to boot, I mean, they're yours forever.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah. Okay, so talk to me about day-to-day finding that new reader.
Oh, yeah, you've been trying to get to this, and I've just been circling around it. Well, I've been lucky recently in that I've been included in major Wattpad listings, specifically for fantasy readers. So that was a boon. That's all organic at this point. But those initial steps are you want to participate in, geez, what did I do? As of last year, I stopped actually, but you want to participate in book clubs, not critique groups. Very different. And I would still love to participate in book clubs, but I just don't have the time to invest in it anymore. Book clubs is where you're going to end up with readers talking about your book, but hopefully not directly to you, because I find that sometimes their input can be a little hard to handle. And that because of the framework, the club can be set up, like readers on Wattpads don't really like to have their opinions challenged. And a writer in my position who values the reader input, I need to know why they think the way they think or how they perceived what they perceive. So that way I can correct it or not. But most readers don't want to be approached like that. So you've got to learn how to pull back in that front. Critique groups are great, but I find people in those groups are too ready to be offended. And that has the side effect of backlashing on your career. If you offend the wrong type of writer and they happen to have a following, your career has ended. So stay away from critique groups, especially on platforms where most of the writers are very, very young. The other thing I do is I take a look at the fantasy genres. in the category, and I try to cipher out the non-romance books, and I'll read the first chapter to see if they write well enough, like if I have a similar writing style to them. And if they do, I'll carry on reading their works, and I'll try to be a bit more active in commenting, but from the experience of a reader, not as a writer. And that's a very, very different mindset, and it's really difficult to separate how you would write a scene differently versus how you're experiencing the scene. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So you got to comment as a reader on these things, but you have to make sure that you're reading the right books. So it would make no sense for me to go into the romance section and comment all willy-nilly on there, because those readers wouldn't be into what I have to offer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Well, particularly, I mean, what you're looking for are the other fantasy authors, right? And so, yeah.
Yeah. Once you find those fantasy authors and you've interacted with them as much as they can, as much as you can with what they have available, some of them have complete works, and as a result, you're not going to... If they have complete works, it's unlikely that they're going to go back on writing new segments for it. And as a result, new readers won't see your comments. Now, that's just knowing how the system works. I'm not saying don't do this. I'm saying go ahead and do whatever you want. But this is the end shelf. This is the end of the shelf life for that book. The author is moving on to a different project at this point. And while your comments might be seen by new readers, and if you happen to have a large following in your Wattpad group, on your Wattpad profile, all of those readers will be seeing your comments. So it's kind of twofold. You want to experience it as a reader, not as a writer, because you're not only alienating, if you write your comments as a writer, you're not only alienating the author, but you're alienating the author's readers, and you're alienating your readers.
Whoa.
So my written communication is fairly harsh. So I've had to actually learn this lesson the hard way.
Well, I hope you made the mistakes early before you had a big following.
Yeah, well, I end up with two groups of people, the people who hate me and the people who love me, the people who get where I'm coming from because they've experienced the backlash from sensitive authors are generally the people who love me. So I have that extra piece of work up there, the cold hard truth of writing, the writing process that has nothing to do with writing. It's all about the author ego. And like readers so far, it's not as nearly as successful as my main work, but the readers who've experienced the bits and bobs I've mentioned in that book, just like it has been a phenomenal reception there. Huh. And that shows me that there's a huge problem in the writing community, that readers should not be experiencing this type of backlash from people who are aspiring to make a career for themselves. Does that make sense?
You said readers should not be experiencing this kind of backlash. Talk to me, explain that a little bit more. What is the backlash the readers are experiencing? Now, I see the writers experiencing the backlash, and that's fine, but what do you mean the readers are?
Okay, so a reader will comment. Okay, I'll use a personal example in this case. I was helping out a friend of a friend. She needed ARC reviews, and I read the first chapters based on the fact that I was sold it as a supernatural fantasy. No, this one was a suspense thriller. But the first three chapters, beyond being badly written, and I'll give you an example of the line, and I'm not going to name the author. I'll do that grace, but. The line that really, that was it for me was he walked across the floor muscularly. And my brain did this huge mental twitch and glitched out and I closed the book. That was it. And The drawback is that the first three chapters was written with romance tropes. Not being a romance reader, and to put things in perspective, I grew up with two sisters and three cousins very close by, and they've all went through puberty at exactly the same time. And so you can imagine 5 years of my life, every day was a new romance story. I've had my fill. Thank you. So it's like, so when I say I don't want to read romance stories, I mean, I don't want to read romance stories. So this tells me one of two things. Either she doesn't know she's writing a romance story, or that she knows and she's trying to get that quick sale, which is going to damage your career because you end up with someone like me who's very vocal about these shady shenanigans, these sleazy marketing tactics. And then I do things like, well, this was a line I read in her book. So anybody who's read that book and has heard that line, they'll know that who I'm talking about. And so that has a bit of a side effect. Now, the professional thing to do would have been, oh, I didn't realize. And then she would have addressed marketing to make sure that it clearly stated or clearly implied that she was writing a romance that happened to have that involved a CIA agent and a government conspiracy. Right. But I don't know that because I never made it past the first three chapters because I was the wrong reader. So not only did she lash out, she told me, well, you're not my right reader anyway. What do I need you for? Blah, blah, blah. You don't know what you're talking about. You're so full of yourself. Okay. Well, you know, that's great. Here's the things that led me to believe this. Maybe you should address this.
So when you said reader backlash, it's the authors lashing out at the readers for their comments.
Yes. And you see this repeatedly from writers who feel like they've been attacked. But it's not the reader's responsibility to coddle the author's ego. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, yeah. I mean, thick skin is essential as an author if you're going to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And like I can already hear a lot of the indies I consult with going, well, I don't do that. And I want to just go, yeah, bull. So prime example is when you get a negative review, anything 3 stars and less in a lot of opinions of these authors is a negative review. And they go around posting it on their Facebook feed saying, I got this negative review. This person doesn't know what they're talking about. You are social shaming that reader. This is reader backlash. It is wrong. You expected someone to pay for your work. They are entitled to their opinion of that work, regardless of whether or not you agree to it. Second, review sections are not for the author. They're for the consumer. They are there to advertise to other readers what this book was about and what their experience was about. It's not there to boost the reader's ego. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely understand where you're coming from there.
So obviously I'm very passionate about it. And I've had to argue time and time again. So this is where this comes down to mindset. And mindset is very, very necessary, not only on Wattpad, on free platforms where you're going to learn this the hard way, but it's necessary in paid platforms, especially on paid platforms, because you're asking people to part with their hard-earned money. Like most people are barely making it paycheck to paycheck, and they're choosing to spend the next 20 to 40 hours with you. That's a huge sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah. I see where you're coming here from here on this. Okay, so bringing this back around to Wattpad development. So you joined the book club groups, and that was a good way to really find the authors you were looking for. And then you made a very focused attempt to make sure you were looking at authors who were in your genre specifically, not like a side form of fantasy romance. And then you were connecting with them. And then I guess via them, you connected to their readerships as well.
Yes. So by commenting on their their books, you're inadvertently advertising to your following that this book is great. And you're drawing more followers to them. That's great. Usually a good comeback around is if the author recognizes you. And for the most part, they don't. And so never go in expecting that. What I do after that is I have a look at their following, at their followers, because if they're writing non-romance-centric fantasy, their followers are clear in my group, and I'll start following them, and I'll go through their reading lists and so on to see if there's more fantasy-like authors for me to read. So in a way, it keeps the cycle going.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you're advertising to your following at this point that these are the type of authors you really enjoy, that you're looking for non-fantasy centric or whatever your base happens to be. So in my case, it's non-romance centric fantasy. And I also have a call out that I'm looking for science fiction books as well, because that's what I enjoy to read. Even though I don't write it, I do enjoy to read it. So that's how you're supporting the community, is by reading these authors, by commenting on their works, and by sharing their works with your following.
So you're commenting on these books, and you've mentioned that you've got a reputation for being very harsh and direct. And there's a lot of authors on Wattpad who tend to have soft egos. So at some point, this has worked for you. But so talk to me about, I guess, some of the pitfalls and whatnot that have happened as a result of that. You know, because, I mean, I'm an author. I have a regular critique group. I have online critique groups. You know, if you have a negative opinion about something of mine, I'm okay with that. And depending on that, I may believe you or not. Now, if, you know, 10, 15 people agree with that, I'm like, okay, then I'm in the wrong. And clearly they're right about this. But
my stance with critique groups has always been, if I can't have a conversation with you, it's hard for me to qualify your opinion. So the readers who have commented extensively on my work tend to hold more value for me than those who just go, lol, love, this scene is funny. And it's like, and I don't want to ridicule that. I do enjoy that. It's nice to know that they find the scene funny, but I don't know what about the scene they find funny. So with regards to your question, mostly the backlash I've experienced with the way I critique. Okay, I'll give you something that happened last year, I'd say about October. So I was part of this. This was the last stint I had with critique groups. Apparently, what had happened was this person said, give it to be both barrels loaded, which means I didn't have to hold back. I could be completely honest with what was going on and how I perceived the scene was going on. And I could tell her how to fix it. Whether or not she did fix it was completely up to her, and I'm aware of that. It turns out she was not aware of that. So what ended up happening was, and I do feel terrible for this, she ended up quitting writing. She deleted her book off of Wattpad.
Whoa.
And I'm like, okay, that was not my intention. Because what I was saying to her was I was having a hard time following the story, and that she seemed like she was a bit all over the place, that she had all these awesome characters, but she didn't have a cohesive story to tell. So as a result, her story was a bit meandering. And then some of the key elements she wasn't explaining very well, but it ended up backlashing on me because I couldn't visualize what she was saying or what she was meaning. Therefore, it was my fault. And I'm like, no, it's never the reader's fault for not understanding what you're trying to say. And then, so she really got offended by that and ended up deleting the book. Now, I'm of two minds, and the harsh sense is, if that's all it took to get you to quit, you're not ready for this. On the other hand is, she may not have wanted to develop a career in writing and so on, and I just ruined her hobby. Okay, but why are you writing? If you're writing to entertain, then you need to be understood. So it's like, it gets to be a really difficult conversation. The side effect that occurred as a result of this interaction was someone had read my comments to her and felt that I was actually being very harsh to her, that I wasn't taking into account her age, which she was in her early 20s. Therefore, she's an adult. She should be able to handle it.
Yeah. I mean, it's different if you're talking to a 14-year-old kid, but yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, there's also a difference in how long have you been writing?
Mm.
Because if you're gonna, if this is your first ever work, you're not ready to hear it's not good enough. And no matter, even if I tell you how to fix it on your weak points are, all you're going to hear is it's not good enough. I try to avoid interacting with people who are very new to it because I'm too hard on them. And I know this. And this is why in my blurb I say I do not hold back because I don't know how to. And so this person ends up emailing me. A fan of, I don't know if it was one of my readers or one of her readers, but they ended up emailing me pretty much asking me for my time to critique and review their work whilst simultaneously shaming me for making this girl quit writing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's your end goal here? Are you trying to insult me or are you trying to guilt me? So I'm like, sorry, I don't have the time. I have many projects ahead of me and I'd like to focus on my work. Thank you very much. Well, she comes out and lashes out and pretty much says, you need to get the rod out of your ass. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I don't know where that came from, but thank you. I'll keep that in mind. You think too highly of yourself. Well, clearly you think highly enough of my opinion to ask for my critique.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, so I just, in this case, I already know I'm not going to follow through, but I'm not going to get this person off of my back. What do you do? I mean, I don't want to offend them, and I've clearly offended them at least twice by denying them the thing that they felt entitled to, which was my advice and the critique, which I already know that they're not going to follow because they felt I was too harsh on this other person. So it's like, okay, well, this logic train says disaster, red flags all over, figure out something. But I already know I'm in a position to not be able to let this person down gracefully because I already tried. So I just block them. It's like, what else do you have to do? There are no other options. So meanwhile, I have no idea if this person is talking down about my work or so on, or including me as a negative interaction. And at this point, I care, but I also don't, because there's really nothing I can do about their perception of me at that level.
Yeah.
They're basically angry at me because I didn't give them what they wanted, which was validation. And I know that's what they were looking for.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and I guess my experience in Wattpad is that the commenting is basically, it's kind of like the Facebook of writing. Like everyone just wants nonstop positivity from everybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is why I don't bother with critique groups on Wattpad. It's just not worth the backlash.
So talk to me about non-critique commenting. You've mentioned that you find these authors who are writing similar. So let's say you're taking a non-critique approach to that. So what kind of, commenting are you doing? Just that you liked it, or are you pointing out specific things that you thought worked?
I try a logic approach, unfortunately. I focus on my experience as a reader with the writing itself. So if something like a plot twist has occurred, I'll comment on that. Kind of like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. And my comments tend to be a bit spoilery because I'm interacting with the author, not with their readers. So I'm like, oh my God, I didn't realize Hayden was actually going to be a werewolf or something like that. I don't read werewolf fiction, by the way, so don't send me any. because it tends to be YA romance a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much a subgenre of YA romance.
Yes. So as a result, I tend to not read werewolf things. And it's a shame because I really do love a good horror werewolf fic or horror vampire fic. But I will not take the risk. It has to come as a recommendation.
Yeah, yeah. Post Stephanie Myers, those two genres don't exist in horror, really.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
So
commenting on readers, on written fictions. Okay, I'm sorry. So I have a logic approach. Because I struggle with the emotional aspect of it. I realize that a lot of the MCs, main characters that the authors write, tend to be a lot about themselves. So wish fulfillment writing.
Mm.
So you be very careful not to comment negatively on the MC.
Man, I tell you, it sounds like you walk on eggshells in Wattpad.
You walk on eggshells no matter what the platform, honey.
That's funny. Yeah, it's in the earlier ages of the podcast, we actually used to take listener submissions and critique them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure we lost listeners every time. I even warned them. I would send this a very specific email before. I'd be like, now, this is a critique. No matter how good your writing is, we are looking for what doesn't work. So mm-hmm. you need to be prepared for the fact that regardless of how well you write, most of what you get back is going to be negative. That's how critiques work. And you know, and they'd be like, yeah, sounds great. I'm interested. And so we would critique the work and send it back to them, and we never heard back ever again. So
that is exactly what is like. And I can speak from experience on that one, having been one of those people who asked for a critique and did not respond well to one. Like I'm no saint. I'll give you that. But this was like years and years ago. I think I've improved drastically since then. But in my defense, I did say I do not want line edits. It's too much of a time commitment for the person doing the critique to do that sort of thing. And as a result, I had to write out my writing process to not only feel better about what I was doing, because I'm a systematic writer. I review certain things at certain times. And knowing that my grammar skills are terrible, I have hired a line editor to do what this particular critique person has done. So that was my first rule. Don't do this because you're wasting your time. And I can tell you the bits he did do the line edits for, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm rewriting that entire section. So he wasted his time and he pissed me off for no good reason. Now, I want to go back to the part where I wasn't a saint about is when I asked for the critique, I felt that I would stump him, that my work was just that good. And that is wrong, wrong. And from that point, and as much as I hate the guy, I mean, genuinely, right now, my interactions with him afterward did not improve. And it wasn't necessarily my fault because I was trying to explain to him that he was wasting his time and that he was spending too much time focusing on things that didn't matter because they were going to end up getting rewritten. And his rebuttal was, you're too full of yourself. You need to get off your high horse. You'll never make it in the publishing industry. I'm like, oh, that's great. I intend on self-publishing. Piss off, you know? So, but because of that interaction with him, I had to take a few steps back and think about why, what were the real reasons I was doing what I was doing. And what I was looking for was definitely very arrogant, but I was also looking for validation, which in both cases would not have helped me grow as a writer.
Right.
And that was a major, major epiphany moment. And that changed everything with the way I interacted with Wattpad, because I was doing okay before. But once I changed that mindset, I started getting included in lists and started changing the way I interacted with other readers, because I know what they want is to be heard.
Right.
They want their opinion validated in some way, shape, or form. So because I'm aware of that, it has made my relationship with my readers so much easier, which is where I've really experienced the real growth. Now, going to critique groups, okay, well, that won't help. But going to book clubs
Yeah.
And participating in forums and so on, while that'll help initially, what will really compound your efforts is how you interact with your readers. And this is said like throughout all engagement-based marketing. It's how you treat your readers. But no one understands what that means. It's too high-level concept.
Yeah, it's too vague. There's no.
Yeah. So you got to understand, first of all, it's easier to take yourself and go, okay, why am I interacting? Why am I interacting like this? What do I hope to achieve with this? When I comment on this person's book, what am I hoping to receive from the author? Now, this is how come it's more important to interact as a reader than as a writer. Because then you can get into the reader mindset and then you'll understand your readers because you are a reader.
Okay, so I want to make sure we cover this one point before we get too far in. And so talk about the hook and the premise of your own book, your novel that you're working on right now.
Oh, that. Okay, so I had I was struggling with this one for years. I change it every so often to test the market.
I saw that in your author profile page on your website.
Yes, yes. I ended up working with my partner because I'm like, I'm writing this blurb and I hate blurb writing. And he says, okay, well, sum up your story in one sentence. And every time he thought I was breaking into a second sentence, he'd say, no, stop, do it again. So he was a huge help. So the premise is there's a demon underneath the academy and it's on the verge of being unleashed. Seth is using the demon as a way to train himself with the war against the demons, which is a larger scope of the series. But Astral shows up to annihilate the demon, and Seth is now he's in conflict with Astral to stop her from destroying the thing that's helping him survive the war.
Okay, and so give me your opening hook.
My opening hook. The staccato rhythm of the artillery units echoed in the darkness of the evacuation center. So that's the opening line.
What is the current genre specifics where this book sits? Because you said you've moved it around a little bit. Is it dystopian? Is it fantasy? Where are you sitting at right now?
I'm writing dark fantasy. I thought initially when I had finished writing this chapter, it was fantasy horror. And then I discovered there was a fantasy horror niche, which is dark fantasy. So I'm like, fantastic. That's where I belong.
Okay. Okay.
So a lot of it is discovery. You have to know what your overall genre is. And then after that, you got to find your niche category. Otherwise, you're going to alienate readers.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I've mentioned this before, as we've talked, not with you, but with my audience. When my book was first released, I had the exact cover I wanted. Mm-hmm. The problem was it was misbranding my book as dystopian apocalypse as opposed to historical fiction. And I started getting negative reviews, not necessarily because they didn't like the book, but rather because the book was not what they wanted.
Exactly, exactly. And a lot of new authors don't realize the impact and the suggestion and the promise the cover makes to the readers. It's like you can have a bad cover as long as it has the genre cues.
Yep.
So it helps if you have a fantastic cover with the genre cues.
But yeah, it was a learning experience for me, and I remember having a discussion with another author the other day, and he had mentioned that he had a wolf on his cover, and he was a little concerned that people might think it's a werewolf urban fantasy. And I said, get rid of the wolf right away. He's like, because there's a wolf in the story. I was like, doesn't matter. Your cover is not about what your story's about. Your cover is about your genre, and that's the wrong genre.
Absolutely, completely, 100% agree on that. And it's because you have to also be familiar with the other genres and what they're doing for their covers, because you don't want to associate with them. So, for example, as much as I would love to have Seth and Astral on the cover in some really heroic pose, I can't.
It's because a romance.
It's now a romance YA.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Can't do it.
That's so funny. You're right. You cannot put your two, you cannot put a male and female on the cover of the book because immediately you're a romance.
Yes. So even with Supernatural YA, the strong female hero staring out into the distance or staring at the audience, I still can't do that because that's also YA, typical strong female character, and YA typically has really strong romance themes in it. Still can't do it. So, I mean, I've always got to find these stupid workarounds so that way I'm not misrepresenting what my work is.
Yeah, okay. So you have mentioned critiquing a lot and some pretty harsh critiques that had actually gotten you into some trouble here. So I want to talk to you about writing craft. So let's talk about what are some of the elements of prose or storytelling that just really drive you crazy when it's done poorly?
It depends on how I'm reading it. For example, on Wattpad, the primary problem I see, I'll ignore bad writing. The bad writing is just part of Wattpad. When you find the gems, like hold on to them, man. They're so few and far between, like, and promote the crap out of them. They definitely need the exposure. And comment until you're blue in the face. They really need that exposure. But the thing that really drives me nuts on Wattpad is, one, they're misrepresenting their genre, so it's a marketing element there. Two, they're fly by the discovery writers, so their plot meanders. And I'm one of those people who requires structure. So I need to be able to trust the author. And if I can't trust the author, that the author knows where they're taking the story, I'm not going to sit through 500 word segments of them having a conversation with their parents. I can't take it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, there's stuff I can't tolerate with a storyteller. I like, if I see it, I put the book down. I can't do it. Walking away.
Opening scene when it involves the character waking up and then looking immediately in the mirror. And I see this not only on Wattpad, I see it with indie published stuff as well. And it's like, okay, instant refund.
That's funny. Yeah, in my writing group, we have a saying, start awake, start dressed, start after breakfast.
That's a good one. I like that. In my case, I started off, a lot of the feedback I've been getting on this chapter is because I have a POV shift. And a lot of people have caught it, but they don't trust me enough to know what I'm doing with it.
Mm.
So just to illustrate it, and this is a massive spoiler, since you guys since your audience is primarily writers, I highly doubt I'm going to convert them into readers, but if they want to see how I'm doing this, more power to them. What I'm doing is future astral is coming back through time to impact core events that is happening throughout the series. So this is the last run through for her. So as a disembodied figure, she hears the staccato rhythm of the artillery units. She sees the parents and children huddled together under the emergency lights of the evacuation center. And then she sees herself. And then as she possesses her smaller self, that's when the POV shift occurs.
Yeah.
And she's no longer the disembodied figure, but she is the child. So right now, new readers don't trust me enough to pull that off. They think I made a mistake by doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So my options at this point is, do I address that? Do I keep the entire first chapter as a disembodied figure? Or do I tone down the language down to, I think it's 8-year-old Astral, and put off potential readers who are looking for something more adult?
Yeah, that is a tricky question.
So now it becomes a question of, did I start it in the right place?
Yeah.
And I'd like to say a resounding yes, because without the scene, you don't get the connection to the foreshadowing that Astral's been looping in time.
Mm-hmm.
And could I start earlier? Well, that now comes down to the argument that I have to start from the perspective of 8-year-old Astral with 8-year-old language, and that'll alienate readers. So it's a really, really challenging puzzle to work with.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So at this point, it's like fourth draft problem. the other thing that will turn me off of reading, now, because I'm an avid romance disliker, as soon as I see the first telltale signs of a romance trope, I'll put the book down. And that's just because I've been inundated with it. Like last year, I spent about $2,000 on books, and most of them wound up being romance books.
Oh.
And so, like, I'm really angry because I could have used that $2,000 for something useful, you know? So I've wasted my money on that. So as a result, I'm going to end up putting the book down every time I see that trope. So as soon as the character mentions that this other boy comes in and he's super hot or super mysterious, or I'll stop reading right there.
Mm. You've mentioned, I think I asked you this, but I guess maybe I wasn't as clear on your answer. You've mentioned that you tend to take a long time with your writing and to get something out. And so why are you choosing to publish on Wattpad?
Because I don't want to hit publish and not get any sales.
Okay.
So what I'm doing right now is I'm building my platform. I have my short stories, sure, and I'm still selling them. But and because I don't care about my short stories, I mean, I care about them. I care enough to put my best foot forward, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't care about their long-term success. It's there if readers want to indulge in it. But I don't care if I'm not going to panic if I don't sell anything this month, for example. Right now, Wattpad has been invaluable for reader feedback, like genuine reader feedback.
Right. Well, as long as it's positive.
No, even the negative stuff. I've been able to handle that. As long as I'm not doing...
I was going to say, I didn't know if you were even getting positive feedback. I mean, negative from the readers. Okay. Well, that is good then.
It's like, as long as it's not line edits, I can work with it. I suppose I should give you an example of a negative piece of feedback I've received. They don't resonate very well with Astral at all.
Okay.
She doesn't behave like a teenage girl. And as a result, they find it very difficult to relate to her. But I found that once they get to chapter 5, I think, they're completely in her corner. So it's a question of, do I really want to address this now?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, because I have to rely on the readers having faith in me, and they have to have, on some level, connect with the character, I've decided to, in the fourth draft, I'm going to be rewriting the first arc with Seth as a focus. So chapter 1, Raising Clearwater, is going to stay the same, but chapter 2 is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's very few changes I have to make, but I do have to change the order in which I introduce the characters. Because right now it's Astral as a child, a disembodied spirit child. Chapter 2, Astral as a teenage girl and how she's grown to hunting. And then chapter 3 is William. Chapter 4 is Seth. Well, now I have to change it. Chapter 2, Seth. I can probably go chapter 3, William, and then just completely delete chapter 2 that I have with Astral as a focus and probably still get away with it. The funny story with Astral is because I was getting such, not really backlash, because the readers weren't able to connect with her and they were very vocal about it.
Mm.
I had to wonder whether or not I had a problem with the character. Now my goal was to write a character, not to write a gender.
Yeah, I can see that very much in the YA genre.
So what I did was for the first chapter, and I did this with one of my short stories too, everything that had Astral in it, I changed it to Seth. And all I did was change her name and change her pronoun. Well, lo and behold, she's a great character, completely supportive. No problem with the character. So I changed it back.
Yeah, that's weird.
And you want to know the funny bit? The people who were railing against Astral were female readers. The male readers had absolutely no issue with Astral. They're like, oh yeah, I can see that, because Astral's logical. She's mission oriented. So yeah, I can see where she's going with this, where the female readers wanted her to have crushes and wanted her to be more receptive to Seth's advances and stuff like that. And Astral's like, no, dating you would not serve the goal. Right. So.
Huh. That's funny. It sounds like a lot of the female readers wanted a romance story. And like you said specifically, that's not what you're writing. And those aren't the readers you're looking for.
Right. Absolutely. So that's what led to my being very, very clear about what I was writing. So that way I could address readers' expectations immediately. Like, I am not writing romance. I'm never going to be writing a romance. These characters are never going to hook up.
So, yeah, it's funny. There's a guy, he's in one of my critique groups, and he's a great writer, and he has great critiques. But every time he critiques one of my works, he's like, you got too much history in there. You got too much psychology in there. I was like, no, that's what my readers want. You know, his other critiques are great, but anytime he talks about that, I just ignore him.
It sounds like it might be an info dump problem, because that's something I also suffer from. So. It's like, how much information do you share and how do you share it?
So he's just against it flat out.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's just a genre problem. He doesn't read my genre. And so when he critiques that aspect of it, he's, you know, I mean, there are other writers in my group who will point out, like, this is too long, you need to break this up and different things like that. But for him, just that specific aspect, he's just not familiar enough with the genre to be able to critique it accurately.
Okay, so mind if I ask, why then are you asking for his advice?
Because when it comes to story, plot development, character, he has fantastic critiques.
Okay. At least he has a strong suit that you recognize and you intend on taking advantage of.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of people where, well, with regards to our previous conversation with critiques, it's that they don't understand why they're connecting with you to begin with, and they haven't read your work enough. They don't care about your work enough to care to see where your strengths are. So on Wattpad, it's really, you have no idea what you're getting into a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I'm just as guilty as not reading ahead as anybody else. Like, I have a finite amount of time.
Right.
And I'm giving this person a chance. I'm obligated to give this person at least 3 chapters of my time. And that's, as I'm reading through it, I already know they either have something of value to say, and I really hope they focus on this element, or they have nothing of value to say. And that's what I was seeing through Wattpad critique groups, was that they were too far behind to really be useful as anything other than a reader.
Right.
Because they couldn't help me refine those areas that would have been problematic. They don't have the vocabulary and they don't have the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I find that's a lot of that. Like to be a really good critiquer, you often have to be a writer in some aspect, just so that you have a way to explain it. Because a reader can point out, be like, this was confusing, I didn't like this, this was boring. But the writer can usually break that down into something more specific, being like, your setup to payoff is too long. You need to tighten your pacing.
Yes, and that's incredibly useful with the right mindset, of course. And you gotta, like, there's this one writer who's actually incorporated my advice rather nicely. They've improved so much over the past year, it's mind blowing. And I kept saying, well, you're attempting to write description, but you're going a little whole hog on it. Here's how you would do it. I can't visualize your characters. So I would, you know, drip feed these elements.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do that. You got to build the world a bit more, because I can't see it. And your world is about the travel, the experience. You're writing something Tolkien-esque, so you need to share that information.
Yeah.
Because if I can't visualize your world, then I got talking head syndrome. But I found with my readers, it's Neil Gaiman's advice, actually. The reader's always right. Always. Without fail. They are always right. But they also can't tell you how to fix the problem.
Exactly. Yep, that is
it. And that's fine, because it's not up to them to tell you how to fix the problem. I find a writer's creativity really shines in how they choose to address that problem. which is why I don't really like critiquing other people's works either. I can say, well, this is wrong and this is how I would fix it. But it's not up to me. It's never up to me. It's up to you. It's your problem. It's your creative problem. You right. figure it out. Because if I tell you how to fix it, then you're going to think my word is law. And I don't want that. And like, that's the problem I'm having, is because in my communications, I'm very abrupt. I'm very straight to the point. And they think I'm too rigid. And I'm like, no, dude, I just don't care. It's like, it's your story. You figure it out. But, you know, you asked for my advice. Here it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't want to take too much of your time, and we've already been almost an hour here. Can you tell us where exactly to find your work? We've talked about Wattpad specifically, but if they want to find you, where can they check that out at?
Okay. Well, then it'll be awakeningseries.com.
Okay.
You can also find me on Twitter and on Facebook. You can find me on Wattpad under Amber Delcourt. Usually I write under A. Delcourt, but that was taken.
So. Oh, really? That's too bad. So, yeah. Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to cover? Like I said, I can give you as much time as you want, but I did want to make sure that we did get the shout out in there for you.
Okay. Well, right now I'm doing the website redesign, and it takes about 2 hours per page to really think about who you're writing for and what you want them to do and how you're going to connect with them. So I'm going to just take my lumps. The website's been in dire need of updates for ages, that I've been using this week to this interview as the fire under my ass.
Okay.
Is there anything I can help you with?
You know, as we do our marketing episodes, I've been doing a bunch of research on Wattpad. I experimented with it, but I felt like I didn't have an understanding. So what I really wanted was to talk to you, someone who is doing fairly well there, seemed to have a fair amount of experience, but also whose writing I liked. I wanted to make sure that the author I picked to talk to wasn't just a breakout success, but someone who I could look at their writing and say, this person definitely takes their craft seriously and is definitely trying to write well, not just spam out stories. So,
oh yeah. If anything, I get backlash from the indie community for caring a little too much about the writing craft.
So,
and I see where they're coming from. Like, I really wish I could write a story in like 30 days, but I can't. I really can't.
But yeah. And so so the information I got from you, most of it I have not found online anywhere, and I feel like it's great information for people who want to use Wattpad to try and grow their platform. So it's been great. You'd mentioned some things I did wrong. Is this just critiques for my writing, or is this about my use of Wattpad? Because I think
your use of Wattpad. I have now stopped looking at other people's works directly, because it's too sensitive.
Okay. Well, and I think it'd be useful information for the audience here if you talk about what I'm doing wrong.
Okay. Let me just pull up your profile and I'll go through it.
Yeah.
How long have you been on Wattpad?
I think I started putting stuff up in maybe August.
August? Okay. So you're still a baby.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I was going into Wattpad. I was aware it was a YA audience. I was aware it was very romance based, but I was like, I cannot talk to my audience about this unless I at least have some experience with it. So I went in just to kind of test things out and put some things up and just kind of see what happened.
Okay. And you write?
Historical thriller fiction. So.
Okay. Your cover work comes off as a bit horror-esque.
Oh. It's the bloody hand, isn't it?
It's the bloody hand, yep. I get a bit of a history vibe off of that. Just so you're aware, I do have a background in graphic design with corporate identity, corporate branding in mind, and I have worked with national brands before. It's just so your listeners know that I'm not just talking out of my ass as somebody who thinks they know what they're doing. I sort of do. So, yeah, your cover is actually really good. It has a bit of, your typography is clear, very easy to read. It's definitely one of the better covers. I see that your author name is covering the full width of the cover instead of, you know, off into some corner like mine. Like, what I wanted to do was, my brand was the series, not me. And I've got backlash on that, so I'm going to correct it when I go to actually publish the work. But at this point in time, it doesn't make much of a difference. Yeah, but your cover is overall very well. I don't get the history vibe completely off of it. I see that this guy's in a CIA sort of trench coat thing.
Yeah, the thriller vibe comes through very strong, but definitely not the history as much. I think if it was black and white, people would be like, oh yeah, history.
No, I don't think so. I think you're missing a history element for sure, but I'm not too sure how I would go about correcting that. That's a you problem.
That's a you problem.
I would have a look at other history type books to see what's going on, because you don't want to include like history photos or things like that. But you do want to convey the snapshot of the history element that your character is going to be involved with. Because there's a very clear difference in readers who like Egyptian history or Greek history or Roman history.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah.
So if you're generic history, I don't know what you're about.
Yeah. Right now I'm working on the prequel, which should be done by the end of this month or next month. And that'll become the first in the series. And so I think if I address that in the first book in the series, I won't need to worry about it as much about the second book.
Yes, unless you're time hopping, in which case. So. In which case you're going to have to identify the periods that he's in.
Yeah, yeah. But I think you're right. Like, if I had something that would specifically point to what period in history this is, I'd probably get a better conversion on my sales because people would have a better idea going in. But so I definitely will address that in the cover for the next book.
Okay, so this book is already published.
Yes.
All right. I knew that. I checked. I did my research. okay, so that means you have a limited amount of space you're allowed to publish online without getting punished by KDP. Are you wide?
No, I'm not wide.
You're with KDP. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that makes a new challenge. So you have the prequel. Is that set up for pre-order?
No, not yet. I have talked to too many authors who have had prequel pre-order blow up in their face because they didn't make their deadlines. So I will not go into pre-order until I am ready to say publish today.
So. Good man, good man. And for a prequel, go 30 days thereabouts. You could probably push it to 60 if you have the money to push the marketing.
No, I'm just going to do 30 days. But like I said, I will not set up the pre-order until it is 100% ready. So.
Yeah, that's a good call. Okay, so this is what you're going to do, because this is what I would do. Because you have no wiggle room with When the Sky Falls. What a lot of indie authors will do, and this is why it's wrong, is they'll put up the first few chapters, the first 10%, and say, go buy my book. These readers have no idea who you are.
Right.
And their first experience with you is you're holding the story hostage.
Right.
So you're creating a negative experience with them from the get-go. The other thing you're not doing is you're not taking advantage of the algorithms to gain visibility within Wattpad to develop your platform.
Okay, talk to me about that.
Okay, so I try to publish once a week. If I can manage twice a week, even better. The segments need to be between 1,000 words and 2,500 words. The reason for that is because Wattpad readers are reading on their mobile phone or they're reading on their PC. And screen visibility causes a lot of eye strain, so your segments have to be short. I'm not saying don't make your chapters short.
But your published sections need to be
short. Yes. You'll notice in my stuff, like chapters 2 is like 10 parts.
Oh, wow.
So my chapters are long. They range between 10,000 to 20,000 words sometimes. So I'll leave it up to my editor to tell me what I need to cut out. I just can't do it anymore. Anyway, I just write the damn thing because I need to finish it. So what happens here is that every, say, 1500 word segment you put out every Friday. And then you encourage people to vote on the content because that gives you visibility. Okay. And you also ask questions. What do they think about this part? What do they think about this character? Where do they think the character, the story is going? I try to include something like that every so often. I always, always encourage the votes because that goes a long way. Commenting, I can't force anybody to comment. So while I encourage it, it's unlikely to happen. Only your avid readers are going to comment. And I try to entice engagement through questions. So if I can get their feedback on something, even better.
So are you putting the questions at the end of the segment, or are you commenting on it yourself and putting the question that way?
At the end of the segment. Because if I'm commenting myself, I look like I'm trying to, I'm being an attention whore.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And if these are things that the reader genuinely doesn't care about, I'll just carry on. If the things normally when a reader takes issue with something, that's when they're going to comment. If they feel strongly one way or the other, that's when they're going to comment. I'm at the point in the story where a major reveal has occurred. So there was a lot of comments for a short time. And then now they're waiting to see where I'm going with this. So it's gone quiet again. So there's highs and lows. So now with your prequel, you're going to release that weekly or sometimes I would go probably twice a week, and you would include in your blurb that your pre-order is up.
Okay.
So you're going to have to plan your story in weekly segments by twice up until your launch date. When it launches, you have to remove it from Wattpad.
So if I go KU.
If you go KU. If you go wide, whatever, it's yours.
Yeah, okay. Well, those are some good notes about Wattpad. And I've learned a ton here, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. As always, we'd love it if you would leave us a review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen to the podcast. If you want to support the show, check out one of our books, Song of Locke or When the Sky Falls. And if you enjoy the show, tell people about it. Help spread the word. And thanks for listening.